We've been friends a long time. We can discuss anything, right?
Sure, bud.
Well, I have an issue.
No kidding. You cheer for Boston.
An issue down there?
Hey, half of all guys experience erectile dysfunction. Heard of Felix? Felix connects you to a doctor for an assessment. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations. Treatment is delivered discreetly to your door.
Sounds great.
I just wish you'd be more discreet about wearing that Boston jersey in Toronto.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. GSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker.
Wow, we have a new saying now. It's called up and running.
Whoa.
Up and running. Oh, okay. Who created that?
Al's brother, the new host. Dude, why are you working today? You sound like you were like in the bottom of a dumpster and you just crawled to the top to put that suit jacket on. Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I haven't been feeling well. I mean, if we're being honest, I'm not alone. I think a lot of people have been under the weather and, you know,
the whole world
been going through the house. And listen, if Al's brother hosts again, I'll come back Wednesday. We won't have an audience. You know, I gotta get back on the air. So, you know,
so it's true.
This is just the reality of our situation. So, no, I'm all right. Listen, it's been a few days, been off for a while. I'm back. The Leafs are winning. The Raptors are winning. It's all good.
Exactly.
It's all good, buddy.
I had somebody say to me, goes, if the Leafs had lost four in a row, Hayes would demand to be on the show. They've won four in a row, he'd demand to be on the show. If they were 2-2 on that road trip, he's laying in his bed today. There's nothing to talk about.
So, yes, could be very so different.
Either way, different. Like newsworthy, you have to. He's fighting through the elements, and I agree with you. I said this to you today on the phone. Everyone in the world is sick. If you actually go to a public place and close your eyes and just listen, people are sniffing, snorting, coughing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No,
everyone's grinding. Everyone you talk to, like, oh,
how about this, though, guys? Hang on a sec. Why don't we, as a group of three guys, Hayes, that whatever's in your face right now that's making your face sound like that and look like that, that's not going away for, like, 2 weeks. I'm not going in. I'm not having you cough that garbage all over me. I'm not going around that because it'll go to noodles. It'll get to me. We're doing a 2-week cleanse. Hey,
we have kids. I've got a 5-year-old that just came home from school.
That's the favor we're going to do to ourselves.
Right,
that's
face.
Our Christmas present to each other. I'm not going because if you say you're going in there, I ain't going in there. By the way, did you like my GIF I made? Did you like my Anthony Davis GIF?
No,
and
I
know you
that.
Saw it. Oh, you didn't see it.
No, I'm telling you, I was not paying attention to anything. I was gone. So I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you got it. It was trending on Twitter, I think, at one point. It was something else. I don't know who O has as a buddy.
Are you being serious?
I'm being dead serious.
There it is up on the screen. Anthony Day.
You're calling me street clothes.
Yeah. Someone sent me a tweet yesterday saying, Brian Street Clothes Hayes, and I started laughing out loud to myself. I thought it was pretty funny.
Wow.
So I asked my meme guy if he could fire that up for me. I said, can you do me a favor and find like a Lakers clip where it like pans LeBron on the court and then goes to the bench and it shows like AD and all his fancy clothes and stuff and just put Hayes' face on it. And he wrote back and he goes, this is the best I got. The voice is the best though, because I think you can hear Kevin Harlan. And he's like, there's Anthony Davis in his street clothes again. He's cleared for doing exercises later this afternoon. It's the best clip. But I'm glad you're back.
This is exactly why I'm back. Like, I take one day off, in large part because I get kids who are home, and I'm like, I can't work right now.
Yeah.
And I get hit with memes. Al's brother, who you would think would be the most supportive guy, considering all the opportunities we have given to him, and not a peep from Al's brother. So that's notable.
You got
Al's brother was like me. Al's brother was like me when Robert Kron broke his leg. I got sent to the minors for one game and I'm like, I'm in hell. I'm literally in hell and I'm never getting out of hell. And I was like, if I stink down here, I'm never going back to the show ever. I got a phone call. You're getting on a bird to L.A. Bobby Kron broke his ankle. I have never fist-pumped for an injury so hard in my life. I'm like, Bobby Kron, you saved my life.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough because somebody else's misery. And that's what you felt like yesterday?
That's what has to happen.
You felt like Al's brother. No,
Al's brother. Al's brother. Oh, yeah. You should have seen Al's brother. He said to me before the show, he goes, I need a tie. You got one in your dressing room? I said, yes. Go down to the green room near Studio 6, and my dressing room's right there. He goes, okay. He comes back with this tie that looked like he pulled out of one of those clothing bins, and he comes back, and I go, where were you? He goes, I went in the green room down there. I said, that's not my dressing room. Mine's across the hallway. So there's like a bin of like ugliest ties in the world that people just throw on the floor in the green room by the makeup.
And I he know grabbed what one, you're talking about.
Yeah, and he grabbed one of those and he wheeled it back. And I'm like, you weren't in my room.
No.
The worst part was this tie matched his shirt and his jacket perfectly. I don't know how he pulled it off.
Well, good for him rocking a tie and a suit. Listen, Al's brother, he comes prepared. You know what you're getting out of him. Like, he's going to have tremendous information, and I didn't get a chance to hear any or see any of it, but I'm sure it went as well as you could expect it to go. I mean, Al's brother is a professional.
And yeah, I'll tell you what, as pumped up as he was about the Leafs result, he was equally as pumped up about what happened in that football game between Indy and Pitt.
Yeah. Did you lose, Hayes? I thought you were on Indy, right?
No, I was on Indy. Yeah, I was on Indy last night. And listen, it actually, I had a bit of an epiphany, you know, last night when I was, you know, I had a fever up over 40 and couldn't see straight. And I was like, you know what? This is what I need. I was openly rooting for the Steelers to win a cover last night because I need the gap to spread so that when the comeback happens, it's going to be that much more epic. And as of now, I'm not picking winners. It's not like these guys really are either. They're four games above 500 with two pushes, and they got Luke Wilson making all their picks. But there's still a lot of time left. I'd say there's another 30 games left, give or take, in the regular season. Lots of swing left. Awful football game last night. I was texting with another buddy of mine who's a Colts fan. I'm like, why are you watching that? Like, the Leafs are winning, the Raptors are winning, and it's – Colts, Steelers, two awful teams playing for nothing, you know, and it was a terrible football game. Credit the Steelers. I should have known better that Mike Tomlin was not going to get outcoached by Jeff Saturday. I mean, on what planet was that ever a possibility? But we'll get into that more later on. But, you know, the Leafs, as of now, I mean, that's the story, right? You go on a four-game road trip, you win all four pretty decisively, too, and last night, you know, it was Rick Clouseau didn't have himself a great night, but Matt Murray did. And the Leafs, big boys showed up. And, you know, Mitch Marner's got points in 18 straight. William Nylander's on fire. That's back-to-back games with 5-on-5 goals for Matthews. And the Leafs are back to where most people projected they would be, you know, on opening night. They're rocking, man. They're playing really, really well.
If you had told me they would have been performing like this, Hazy and Noodles, with all those guys injured, I would have said you were nuts. And the key now is to just keep this thing going because they've set something. They set a standard for themselves, amongst themselves, which is most important. You can have a coach barking at you. You can have a GM barking at the coach to get guys to do it. But when the players have accountability amongst themselves and a guy like John Tavares can say to somebody, we don't play that game anymore, and we don't do that, and that's not what we do, and this is what we're doing, and this is how we're winning amongst everybody. It's so big as a team. So to set that standard amongst themselves is massive.
Well, and it's for me, I just noticed, like, the way they're built, that's how they win. It's their big boys deliver, and they've got stable goaltending. Matt Murray's been really good. And Samsonov when he's played. So coming into it, yes, they've been decimated on the back end. Morgan Riley's a big piece to miss. So is, you know, TJ Brody, so is Muzzin.
They're top three defensemen opening day. They're all out.
But they're doing it by committee. But ultimately, it's, you know, you take any big boy off of any teams, like, you know, one or two of them, that's what you're seeing throughout the league, the parity. The big boys have been delivered. Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews is still, I still think he's got another level. I think we all do. But he, you know, he's starting to look a lot more comfortable. You know, Tavares has been very consistent, and so has William Nylander. And those are the guys who, every night on that road trip, for me anyways, you tell me if I'm wrong.
No, they've been phenomenal.
They were a part of every night part of that win somewhere along the line
yes.
to drag it across the line. That's the way I felt.
Absolutely. With all like there's a lot of things that have happened recently that I credit the Leafs for, but from my standpoint, just being a viewer, I credit them for putting me in a position where for regular season games in November, I'm genuinely excited to watch them play. And I think that says something, considering, you know, all the playoff disasters and the black clouds and the negativity hanging around them over the offseason and into camp. You know, there was this whole narrative, and a lot of it, which I bought into as well, that, you know, well, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. And when that gets steeped in, makes it difficult to really activate a fan base and passion for the regular season. But I think they've done that because of what they've gone through. Partially self-inflicted the way they started. You know, they started with losses to Montreal, Arizona, Anaheim, San Jose, some of the worst teams in the league they lost to. That first 10 games was probably the easiest 10-game schedule they'll have all year. They were terrible. And then they lose their top two goalies, their top three defensemen. And since then, all they've done is win. And I find they're playing with immense confidence, like all the way through the lineup. And that speaks to what you're saying, oh, that's the leadership of the group. Like the big boys are allowing it to permeate through the group where everyone seems to be playing with confidence. I think that says something about the coaching staff as well. I think Sheldon Keefe has done a phenomenal job. But their big boys have been outstanding. I mean, Marner's got points in 17 straight. Like
it's
he's
impressive.
Playing himself into heart chatter. That's where he's at now. You do this with a team that's winning this much and with all these depleted lineups and all these injuries and you're putting up numbers the way he is, the amount of minutes he's playing, he moves around the lineup, he kills penalties. Mitch Marner is absolutely phenomenal right now. And yet it's burying the lead a little bit because I want to point out the stats of William Nylander. Nylander through 14 games in November has got 15 points, only two of those games without a point. So Marner's got 17 straight with a point. Willie's not far off either. Like, that's how good they've been, the big boys.
Yeah. And one other thing, I'll get to Matthews in a second, but it's just, I think there's, you can't really pick apart and be selective how they're winning, but I think there's something to be said about the way they're winning, and it's likable. Like, hardworking and extra efforts and back-checking. And I've said this a bunch of times, and there's not many things in Toronto Maple Leafs hockey that can stick around because of the past and not winning. It's not like you can say, oh, that's a big part of Maple Leaf hockey, because there's not really that many parts that have worked. They haven't won since 67. It's a long time. But I think the idea of just working your ass off is something important in Toronto. And they're doing that. They're doing that right now, and they're getting wins, and they've become likable. It's like, look at these guys work yep. their ass off. And we've said it a million times. I don't care how rich those guys are. And we all know them that go down there. They're loaded. They're rich. They're highfalutin people. But they want to see teams work hard. And they're doing that, and they deserve all the flowers that they're getting right now. And as far as Matthews, it just goes to show you how good that guy is, because everyone's talking about how hot William Nylander is, and it seems like Matthews is almost in a drought, and he's two goals behind him.
Yeah,
imagine when that guy catches on fire.
And he's starting to get cooking, and he will.
Yeah,
and
watch out the next month.
You're right, though. Like that's, I think that is really a sign of what they've accomplished here, is they've managed to become almost an underdog type of feel because of the injuries, I think, and because of the way they started,
right.
which was self-inflicted. They started poorly. But also, just the way they're playing, you rack up wins, man. People jump on board. You know, like, after 10 games, how many people are we talking to? People say, I can't stand these guys. This, here we go again. Can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm done. And that's never going to be
the
case.
They were unlikable. There was
no
other way around
it. They were unlikable. And now they've managed to make games in November like hyped up games. That's a credit to them, and they've done it because they're winning and they're playing well.
Well, they stuck with it, and you're right. I think it's the big boys who've helped drag the group through it. You know, I have to continue to point out Matt Murray has played really well.
Outstanding.
Samson has played really well. Like,
unreal,
that helps. That helps a lot. Like, honest to God, we said this 2 weeks ago. You know, Matt Murray played well in his first game. You're like, okay, let's see how long it lasts types of thing. Now I'm not as looking at it. I'm more looking at it, okay, like, today was a maintenance day. Like, okay, manage the schedule. This is more what it should look like as far as, you know, having, and Samsonov, it sounds like he's been downgraded to what, day to day. I think that was the report coming out. Masters said day to day. Now that he's,
don't you want to let him marinate? I don't know what the goaltender psyche is, but isn't it kind of like, I like to let guys marinate and get super fired up and horned up to get back in. It's like, okay, you're healthy. Oh, that's great. But we like what we kind of, it's kind of mind games, but it's like,
well,
maybe you need to just sit and watch a little bit and be really fired up to get cooking in net, because the two guys that are doing it right now are pretty good.
Well, I see where you're at, but I'm the other way. I'd like to get him back into the cycle as soon as possible, as soon as he's 100% healthy and very comfortable. Reason being is you want to add him to the group. That way Murray's play doesn't dip because he's overplayed and we got to go with him again. As much as Shalgren played well, I don't trust him as much. I think Samsonov is a bona fide every day. I think Shalgren is a guy.
He's a three.
Who,
he should be in the NHL.
He's a three. And there's nothing wrong with that right now, but it just, at the end of the day, I'd like to see Samsonov come in and take some minutes off of Murray and get to a situation where that tandem is like, hey, it's healthy. And let's see, you know, who wants to run with it. McMurray's running with it now. It was Samsonov who ran with it before when Murray was unavailable. I go back to what the Oilers went through the last couple of years. It was Mike Smith and Koskinen. They were never healthy. It was always one guy had to play because the other guy was never available. That, I'd like to see the Leafs have two guys that were available, and it's like, okay, let's see who's going. Whose record is better against this team, and if you're comfortable in both. So I see what you're saying. Oh, get him excited, get him horny. But I also think that I'd like to get him back into the mix.
Getting him horny?
Yeah, get him horny.
I said that. He's got to get him horny. Get him fired up.
Get him fired up.
GoaltenderBrazzers.com. Get him watching. Get him fired up.
All our players are eager and horny enough to
Yes, buddy.
Yeah, either way, whoever makes saves, they've got. The other thing is they're giving up 40 shots, but does it feel like 40 shots? The Leafs have done a really good job of limiting, for the most part, high quality chances. And when there has been a high quality chance, the goaltender's made the save. So it's been a complete team effort, and the goaltending's done a really good job.
Yeah, you look at the numbers. Like Murray's, he got 7 starts, 6 since he returned. He's got a .927 save percentage on the season. Samsonov's got a .921 save percentage. Yep. Like the two of them, that was Dubas's big move. That was his play, and it was a big gamble. The thing is, they've both been injured for extended period of times, which was a concern, and we're still early. We'll find out the true grades on that later in the season and certainly into the playoffs, but their goaltending has really been elite, and it's helped them a lot. Leafs back in action tomorrow night. The Raptors coming off an impressive win last night. You talk about a message being sent. I would suggest that probably happened courtesy of Nick Nurse, directed towards Scotty Barnes and Gary Trent Jr., for that matter. We'll tell you why. We'll get into it. Josh Lewenberg will join us next. All right, we're up on TSN 2 now. Brian Hazio, Dr. Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Join us here in a moment. Yesterday, the Grappler sent me a note saying, can you send a video in? Because Al's brother was hosting, you know, some video to introduce Al's brother or whatever.
Kind of like that, dude. Like, it's just like, as if I want to do a video.
I said that to him. I'm like, Grappler, there's so many pics and videos out there of me where I look like a pile of garbage already. I don't need to add to that.
I'm lying on my couch in a sweatsuit with pus coming out of my face, and you want me to make a video for a stupid NFL pick. That would drive me. I would hang up the phone. I would just say,
It was just a text. More so about, remember when Duffy did the intro video when we were doing the panel? I think that's, I knew where he was going with it, but I can't put myself out there. You know, I hadn't shaved in days. I looked disgusting. I looked like patient zero.
Well, we should give a shout out to the Grappler who's sick. We got a guy named Rick
Grappler's
who's helping.
Fighting it. Everyone's fighting it right now.
Yeah,
Ricky McIlroy, new producer. Love Ricky McIlroy.
Rick McIlroy.
And Nick's been doing a great job with all the World Cup stuff. Yeah. And I was going to send him a text because we were delayed to get on. and be like, Nick, you got to get this stuff off the air, man. Like, if you're producing our show now, between you and I, you got to get the World Cup off the air.
Is he the big, tall, skinny dude?
He's got the beard. He's a great guy, Nick. But I just wanted to see if his head would explode. Like, what am I supposed to do here? Am I supposed to be like, the World Cup's on, or I'm producing for you guys? Like, which hat am I wearing right now?
Yeah, I love it.
But anyway, Nick's doing a great job. And, the grapplers, listen, everyone's fighting him, man. Everyone's fighting him.
But yeah, I mean, he's under the weather. But I prefer Rick, not Nick. So
Rick,
Rick McIlroy.
Rick McIlroy. Yes.
All right, well, the Raptors had that was an impressive win last night. I mean, Cleveland's a good team. Siakam returned, Barnes returned. I think the story of the night, though, was the starting five and the fact that Scottie Barnes and Gary Trent came off the bench. And to chat about that, among other things, here's our Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg. Josh, what was your reaction when you saw that Scottie Barnes in particular coming off the bench last night?
Yeah, that caught me by surprise, Brian, especially Scottie Barnes, as you mentioned. Like, Gary Trent is interesting because we've been talking about this for months and sort of wondering if he makes more sense coming off the bench, not as any kind of demotion or anything, just in terms of fit, bringing offense off a bench that doesn't generally have a ton of offense and has been needing that. And we talked about Precious Achiuwa earlier in the season as maybe being a fit with the starters. Now I think Thad Young has been fitting in really well with the starters. So we can table that for a second because I actually think there might be some staying power there with Trent coming off the bench. But specifically for Barnes, I mean, he started his first 90 regular season games of his career. As Nurse explained it to us after the game, I think he just kind of looked at it as a few guys were coming back, obviously Siakam and Barnes, and then a few guys were still kind of working their way into rhythm after missing time earlier in the month, being Fred VanVleet and Gary Trent Jr. So if you look at those four guys, I think he was just kind of thinking, split them up, have two of them starting, two of them coming off the bench, and hey, I mean, it worked. It kind of looked a little bit weird at first, but one of the great things about having that kind of talent coming off the bench is it's a little bit easier to stagger the minutes. So maybe it's because of that, or maybe it's just because we've gotten used to watching the Raptors play with a fraction of the roster. But it really just seemed like an embarrassment of riches at times yesterday in terms of all the talent that was off the floor or on the floor. So the question now is where they go from here. I mean, Barnes, that's got to be a temporary thing. I would be really surprised if he were to come off the bench even for one more game. I think he'll get that starting spot back immediately. But again, I think there is a really good argument to be made for bringing Trent off the bench, whether he's struggling or not. I think he's a better fit there. And as I said, I kind of like the way that Thad fits with the starters as sort of a connecting piece, a complementary piece that you don't need to call plays for and kind of fills in all the gaps there with that group.
Jaylu, did the guys ever give Scottie Barnes the business? I think the three of us, and you probably do too as well, Jaylu, I watch TV all night, and I think I see Scottie Barnes in a commercial like 30%. Yeah, he's everywhere, man, and he deserves it. But did they ever give him ribbons about the bowl way or the phone commercial? Does anybody ever say anything to him?
Well, who's going to give him a hard time, the head coach who wears baseball hats with his initials on it, or the
everybody else with initials on their stuff.
Exactly. The journeyman Ford who's starring in an Adam Sandler movie, or all the other guys that have their own brands on this team. I mean, hey, I think that's sort of the way of the world now in professional sports, and especially on this team. But you're right. I mean, Scottie Barnes, especially with these local commercials, it seems like he's everywhere. I mean, it was interesting hearing him talk after the game, specifically about the temporary move to come off the bench. I tweeted something out yesterday, sort of paraphrasing what he said, and where he told us, he's okay with it, but he didn't sound okay with it. And basically what I told anybody who disagreed with my take and the way that I read it is go watch the clip, because he was dejected after the game, just sort of saying like, yeah, this is not what I'm used to. I'm fine with it, I guess. But
we have it, Josh. Let me play it, because we have it for you. So let's play. This is Scottie Barnes after the game being asked about coming off the bench.
It was a little different, for sure. It was all right. I don't know. It was I guess.
What's the difference for you?
I don't know. I was used to being out there to start off the game, but you know, I guess it was just a little adjustment. I guess it was just different. I guess.
Okay. Did it catch off guard?
No. I knew it was happening. It was just different.
You okay with it?
Yeah, it's whatever the scheme was, the game plan, it was fun.
Eats it. That is code for I hated that more than you
but
know.
Yes. Good on him, though, to not stir the pot. Like
yes.
You could tell he almost chewed his tongue off there, guys.
Well, I think it's a pretty strong message. Like we talked about this last week with the nurse comments directed towards Gary Trent. And, you know, we talked about how that probably went all the way up the chain. And this would be a similar scenario where this Bobby Webster would be aware of it. Masai would be aware of it. Like, I think it's a shot a little bit. And I don't think it's a bad idea. You know, like Scotty Barnes, everything's gone perfectly for him. And he's deserved it. He works hard. He's been a great young player. But every once in a while, you know, a little jab from Nurse probably isn't the worst thing in the world, Josh.
He hasn't looked like himself for most of this season, and it's not entirely surprising. Like, I think we sort of cautioned people going into the season that there could be some growing pains here. And we're seeing it around the league, too, right? Like, it was such a great rookie class last year, and there isn't one guy who's, like, blowing away the competition this year. Even the guy that we saw in with Cleveland yesterday, Evan Mobley, has taken a bit of a step back this year. But I'll also say, like, he hasn't looked healthy, and that's been the strangest part. And I'll direct you guys to the Nick Nurse comments from the day before the game yesterday, from the weekend, where like I wasn't quite sure what to make of it. We asked him about the knee injury, and he said, well, his knee is fine, and then paused and laughed. And it's like, okay, well, is there something else that's bothering him? Because we know that he's dealt with some ankle issues here and there, or maybe it's something else entirely. So the implication here, obviously, is that he's playing with something. He's not 100%. So, yeah, I think that was part of it last night. And maybe he does continue to come off the bench for a little bit as he continues to get healthy. But I think the bigger thing, as you mentioned, because there always seems to be the hidden message whenever Nurse challenges anybody, and that's clearly there's at least some of that to this. They clearly want him to be more consistent, too, in terms of his effort, because that hasn't been there for entire 48-minute efforts this year, right? Like, we've seen it way too often where he sleepwalks his way through the first half, and then he'll flip on the switch late in the third quarter or early in the fourth quarter, and that's basically what they're saying here is that can't happen.
It's one of the telltale signs that Nick Nurse is a real-deal Holyfield coach, isn't it, J. Lou? I think some coaches would be afraid to death of putting that transaction on paper with a star player like that in fear that they might be pissed and then freak out and want out. It's a big time move by a coach.
It is. And I was surprised by it for a few reasons. One, I mean, listen, Nick has said a bunch of times over the years that in an ideal scenario, he would love to keep the starting lineup fluid and change it game to game, depending on matchup and hot hand and all that stuff. And every time he says it, sort of take it with a grain of salt, because he said it a lot and he's never done it. Like last year, whenever those five guys that normally start were healthy, they started. And that's been the case so far this year too. And there's the political side of it too. Like, yes, you mentioned Barnes and everything they have invested in him. Obviously they've got all the incentive in the world to keep him happy. But even Gary Trent Jr., he's going to be a free agent almost certainly at the end of the year when he opts out of his contract. And I'll also mention that he's represented by Clutch, the same agency that represents Nick Nurse. There's all these wrinkles to it. So, yeah, I mean, you can make an argument for some of these moves, but I didn't think we would see it, certainly last night. So, yeah, I mean, give Nurse credit. He has shown before he is not afraid to make bold moves, and he's not afraid to challenge people publicly and privately. And he doesn't discriminate. He does it to everyone, from guys at the top of the roster. We've seen it with Pascal Siakam. We saw it with Kawhi Leonard back in 2019. He called them out a few times, and he's done it with the guys at the back end of the roster, too. I think sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And what I'll also say is with head coaches, not just in the NBA, but throughout professional sports, for guys that do stuff like that, occasionally there is a short shelf life with those coaches because it doesn't work for everybody. And at some point you wonder whether guys will start tuning that out or raise an eyebrow or two, have a problem with it. But, I mean, Nurse has had a lot of success in the NBA. He's got a championship. He's got a coach of the year on that resume. And I think there's a lot of respect for him in that room. So it's just a question of whether or not that continues over the years if he continues to call guys up.
With Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter. Ananobi's stat line last night didn't scream, like, what a game. You know, he had one rebound, two assists, one steal, a block. But he shot the lights out. He played more minutes than anyone else. He defended extremely well. It's another example of the magnitude of his game this season and the steps forward that he's taken. But I'm curious, Josh, how much of it is him making adjustments and him just simply being available, because he's had so many hiccups with injuries throughout his career that I can't recall the last time he was just, you just knew he was going to be in the lineup and you knew he was going to play and you knew he'd be available to go out there and perform, because he's looking great right now.
You mean you didn't put money on OG Anunoby being the healthiest Raptor this season?
No, shockingly no.
Who would have saw that coming? But yeah, I think it's both of those things. Like, the health is obviously a huge factor in that. Any time that OG has taken a step forward or two in his career, there's always been some unfortunate series of events that has knocked him back. So I think he's been on the floor long enough to actually make and sustain some progress this year. But I also just think, like, the experience that he's had over these last few weeks and being treated like a number one guy, both by his own team and by the other team, has taken him a long way, clearly, because I mean, he's proven now, I think, that he can be more of a focal point of an offense, and that was a big question over the summer, right, as those reports were popping up all over the place that he wasn't entirely happy with his role, he wanted a bigger role, and I mean, of course he did, but there were some questions, from myself included, wondering whether or not he could thrive as, if not the main guy, one of the main guys, because he's basically always been a fourth or fifth option on this team. So with Siakam out, he's shown that he could do that, not just this year, but even last year when Siakam was recovering from the shoulder surgery, OG looked like an all-star. Now the question was, and I guess still is, whether he can maintain that high level of play with Pascal and with everybody back. And yesterday was really, really encouraging in that regard, because obviously the opportunities are going to go down. He's not going to get as many shots or as many touches. But if he can be as efficient as he was last night, he could still be really, really effective. And all of a sudden, you've got a really dangerous 1-2 punch with Siakam and Anunoby. And the great thing with both of those guys is they do other things. So even if they're not scoring 20 points on any given night, especially in the case of OG, who's really looked like, I mean, this isn't even hyperbole. He's looked like a defensive player of the year candidate this year. And as long as he's doing what he did last night, defending Donovan Mitchell, and we've seen it against just about every star in the league this year, Luka the other day, he's looked like a different player this year.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. And the Raps, again, they've seemed to have dodged this injury bullet. Now they're back. They're relatively healthy, and we'll see what it means for them in the near future. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Take care.
Josh Leuenberger, Raptors reporter. Raps coming off an impressive win last night at home against Cleveland. And they're a couple games above 500, and they've had their challenges too. But we'll see. This Scotty Barnes, Gary Trent, like Barnes in particular, man, that clip is something. Like if you've never been off the bench, you've never been off the bench. Like in the NBA, that's a big message. You're not starting.
Yeah.
Big.
Well,
and he was not overly fond of that.
And they asked him, like, did it surprise you? He's like, no, I knew that was so. Obviously, that's a conversation with the coach and him,
yes,
behind closed doors, saying you're not starting tomorrow.
Like, yeah,
you know,
that's
he knew
a sit
that.
One positive thing, Noodles. I remember my dad telling me, and he would see some healthy scratches in junior, and I ultimately wasn't a healthy scratch ever in junior, but he said to me, if I ever see you walking around these hallways and you're happy about being a healthy scratch and you're smiling and whatever, I won't be happy myself. So it's good that you could see that he's pissed, because he's just like, he could have been like, get him next game. And it's like, doesn't care. Doesn't faze him.
He was very,
it's a good reaction that he's pissed.
Yep.
Because he doesn't want it to happen again.
Well, they also won the ball game. So, you know, you got to be careful, because the team won. And, you know, he said the right things, right? Yeah. Like, he's being honest. He doesn't want to come off the bench. Everyone knows that. You don't have to lie about that. You don't want to come off
the bench. And you test the waters the next game. You throw him a bone, put him in the starting lineup, and see what happens.
I thought it was... You could tell he was being very measured with his words, and I like that, because sometimes there's young athletes that are, you know, that don't mind firing a shot back at the coach, and he probably was coached up by PR too, saying, be careful what you say, because it can be, you know, pulled in a lot of different contexts. But we all read between the lines here. You know, he's pissed. He's a pro. He expects more out of himself. He expects to be in that line. I loved it. I think Nick Nurse showed a lot of stones doing that as well.
I think it's a good play.
Coach.
I think especially in a win, like, he's coming off injury. And listen, we've talked about it. Like, it's kind of a sophomore slump type of vibe. He said he's been very inconsistent. And, you know, everything worked for him in year one. That's not the nature of pro sports. You know, there's going to be ups and downs.
Yep.
And a little poke and a little jab every once in a while for a young player is not a bad idea. And it worked out well last night. And I'll bet you he responds. I'll bet you next time he's back in the starting lineup, which will likely be the next game, wouldn't be surprised. I'll bet you he responds. Craig Button still to come. Confirm or deny coming up later this afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Dude, I'm telling you guys, if I don't show up to work one day, it's because my wife walked in my garage and found out that I turned it into a range, an indoor sim.
Wow.
And it's not my fault. My landscaper, he goes, I do it. Like, I know how to doctor it all up. And I'm like, and he's like, I'll get all the measurements. But my wife walks in that garage and sees it set up as a sim and a golf range, I swear she's going to light all my clubs on fire.
Well,
like, if anything shows up, like, tailor-made, if she's just like, I have, like, a couple putters in the living room I like to grab once in a while, and, like, fake putts during commercials. She just hates it.
Okay, hold on a second. All right, are we talking Collingwood or Toronto here?
Toronto.
Oh, well, that's extreme. Like, I would
that's
think
very
it'd
be,
one thing if it's
be
like
snow. You want cars?
What
in
does
the
it matter?
The getaway.
Like, what?
Listen, I support.
Why
it.
Does
I
the house
it.
Matter? What house matters? What are you talking about?
I don't know. The Collingwood is more. That's the escape. That's the you know. That's the range. But I hear you. I support it. I think it's a great move. I love that. You
so do
it
I.
Off.
But she's gonna go in there and just be like, "Why is there more golf stuff? Like, there's putting greens and little putt things." And a bag, a tailor-made bag with putters and drivers.
Yeah, she's gonna drive it all over in the car.
Hates.
Like, she'll press the door opener. She's gonna want to park the truck or the car in there at some point. She'll throw open the door and see your golf setup. She'll run it right over. She might just run it.
I don't think she would do anything crazy like that.
No,
but I can see her just grabbing every club she sees and just. Like, driving to work and tossing him out. Like, she just can't can't get over it.
I've been to your spot in Collingwood. You had at least 30 putters in that living room. You didn't have one or two putters. You had a minimum of 30.
There's cats and putters. That's all there
honestly,
is in that
house.
Honestly,
it looked like a golf town putting mat and putting
court. You have to come back. I was so embarrassed when you came over. I had to take the toilet out of my bathroom.
Yeah, there was nowhere to go.
And set it in my dining room, and you came over, and my toilet was in my. You got to come back.
Yeah,
I need a second impression. Give me a chance.
It was primal.
We got to go. At the 5 o'clock hour to start the show. You need to paint the picture of what you saw.
I'll paint a picture because it was something you've never seen before. All right, hour two coming up. Craig Button will join us. The Leafs are on fire. The Raptors are on fire. I am not with the NFL picks. Confirm and deny still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.